As we focus this morning, I think this is always a relevant reminder from the Bible, and that is the subject in scriptures in Philippians chapter 4, a great promise of God and the command and instruction for us not to be anxious and not to worry, not to fret over things in our life. And we have this promise from God that's right here in Philippians 4 and verses 6 through 7 for many of us is, might be your favorite scripture. As I mentioned before, those favorite scriptures often are promises of God. That God has said, I will give you something and you get this wonderful thing when you keep my commandment. It's for your own good. And that's exactly what we got here in this text this morning. And so I hope this is a great encouragement to you. As you got up this morning, you might have been thinking about certain things. You might be thinking, I need to rearrange my budget. And because of inflation and the cost of certain things, I need to move some money around and figure things out. And there can be definite stress from that. You might be thinking about your occupation and your work, your family life, and the stresses that come there. These things that we can allow to bother us rather than turning to God in regards to Him. You might be thinking about your health or a friend of yours who's going through some health struggles. And maybe they're fighting cancer or some other disease that you've been concerned about. What do we need to do about that? This morning on our Bible study, we looked at one of the kings of the kingdom of Judah. And so King Asa, I mentioned him. King Asa is noted as being a good king, but he did make a mistake at the end of his life. And instead of going to God with a problem he had with his foot, he went to the physician first. And whatever the context was there, it was taken as a rebellion against God. And he died from his sickness. And so we want to make sure that whatever struggles and things we have, that we're going to our Creator, the one who created us, He made our bodies. And so when it comes to our health, we need to be relying upon Him. When it comes to the things that we have and the money and our needs, we need to listen to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He has famous words there. Don't be anxious and fear not. He says, you need to seek out first the kingdom of God, and God will give you all that you need. He will take care of you if you focus on Him. All these things we worry about, what they ultimately are distractions. They're turning our eyes away from our Creator and having us look in the wrong direction. So as we think about these things that we worry about, let's try to reorient them, because I cannot tell you and confess before you that I haven't worried or haven't been anxious. Even this last week, I do. But I also know the promise of God in this passage. And I do know the strength of God's power in Philippians chapter 4 that gives me great encouragement that I can rely upon my Creator. So let's go to Philippians chapter 4. And draw out from this passage of Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, and make some observations from this text. Philippians is known for being a book of encouragement. For this great church at Philippi, Paul doesn't have anything to write to them and to correct them on. He just wants to make sure that they stay faithful and focused on God. So what do you talk to and say to a church like that? Well, he gives great encouragement. And I look at this congregation many times in that way. You know, I could preach on a number of things, but sometimes you might be thinking, why is Scott preaching on this? Do we have this problem in the congregation? Does he know something I don't know? And some of it is, a lot of it is probably more preventive. But when I think about Philippians, I'm thinking more, I need to preach more like Paul is speaking to the church here at Philippi. So let's read Philippians 4, 4 through 7, and draw out some observations here, okay? All right, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. And so Paul has an imperative here, and it's a great command. Rejoice. In other words, express joy in your Lord and in Jesus Christ. Express a joy in Him. And there's much more to be said about that joy. Verse 5, let your reasonableness... And the word for reasonableness here is not the usual word for reasoning. It means your gentleness or your kindness. Let your kindness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Literally, the Lord is near. And that's something to realize. Rejoice in the Lord. Let other people know your kindness. God is near. Listen. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. You hear that imperative? Now, one thing that stands out to me, and it's an imperative, it's a command. And when you look at it in Greek, and he says, do not be anxious about anything, it's in the active present. In other words, don't continue to fret and worry and be anxious. It's present active, in other words, an ongoing thing. Know that you have an answer, that you have someone to go to, someone to cast your cares upon, and upon God and upon Christ. And I hope this is a good encouragement this morning as we think about this. Things I've been struggling with, what am I doing with them? Can I do anything about them? If you can, do something. But if you can't, give them over to God. Verse 6 again, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, again, pray to God. And I got more to say on that, but I'm going to save it for a moment. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God. Here's the promise part. It's verse 7. And the peace of God, God's peace, which surpasses all understanding and all thinking of the mind and all thoughts, he says, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what do I do? Don't be anxious about anything. What do I do instead? Let your requests be made known to God. And what does God say? What does he reveal through the Apostle Paul? He says right here that you will have the peace of God. It's a promise from God. Every mature Christian in here who's ever gone through a trial or hard time and has turned to God in prayer should be able to say this morning, that's exactly right. I've had the peace of God. At certain times when things are difficult, I've gone to Him and prayed and He's given me peace. We probably also could admit a number of times when I've worried and I've been anxious about something and I've tried to fix it myself and I've done 100 different things and it's just been a torment upon me and it's affecting my health and well-being, and I had forgotten to go to God and to listen to His promise of peace. I encourage this morning never to forget this. So we see here about the joy. Let the Lord be your means of joy always. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, rejoice by God always. And when it comes to anything that we have joy in our life, the great victories that come, that's because of God. The blessings we have as our family, the enjoyment we had together as Christians, every bit of that is coming from God. And we need to recognize God in that. And I think because that's important also to this whole context of praying to God when we're anxious. Because if you're not taking joy in God, you're going to be carrying anxiety. And that's a part of also with the prayer. When he says, when you make your request be made known to God, he says with prayer and supplication. And the word prayer there means you make a petition to God, and supplication means you ask God for the things for Him to supply you. That's what it means. And then something very important that I think is connected. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I think for good reason. He says here about having joy and rejoicing in the Lord. And then he says, pray. He says, pray, do it with thanksgiving. Now you can examine your life. What do I thank God for? When's the last time I've gone through the list of things in my life and I've thanked God for? And then this is wonderful instruction for someone who's depressing, who's struggling with anxiety. Is that you sit down and you think about the things that you should thank God for and that give you joy in life that God has given to you, and you rejoice always in Him. So much here in this text just to sit and to meditate on Philippians 4:4-7. There's a reason why for so many people this is their favorite passage of Scripture. The other thing he says here is let your kindness be known to other people. If you have joy in God, but again, you're rude before other people and you're not gentle with them, you're not going to be able to reflect that. And all of this is a constant reminder that God is near. You know, the Bible says in James says, if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Or as in Acts chapter 17, Paul says that God is not far from any one of us, that we cannot reach Him and grasp Him. He is there if we would seek Him out and turn to Him. He is not far from any one of us. And we need to remember that. And therefore, he comes to that conclusion. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. And that might sound like a hard commandment, but he's giving us the things that we need here so that we can actually live a life that's not full of anxiety and worry. Because now my focus is on the joys that God has given me, recognizing my Creator is near, treating others with gentleness and kindness. And so in every situation, we're being told here to make our request known to God. And don't think that, oh, it's selfish of me to be praying. He says, yes, your request, the things that you need and that you want, and you want them to come from your Creator. Don't hold them back. Yes, you need to pray for others, but pray for yourself. That's part of the instruction here. Make petition to God. God, I have this problem, this problem. I don't know what to ask you for. Help me. God, I know my problem's here, and I think I need this. Give me this. You know, I need someone else to help me. I need other guidance. I need other encouragement. Supply these things to me. And I would encourage you this morning, pray for them. And don't hold back. Don't make excuses. One of my family members said to me one time, he said, I've been praying for you. I mean, I think I've shared this with you before. And one of the foolish, most foolish words that ever came out of my mouth is, I said to him, don't pray for me, pray for others. I don't need any prayers right now. It was like the foolish thing for me to ever say, because right after I said that, and the next day I'm reflecting upon it, thinking, I need prayers. And we need to pray. Pray for one another. But when we have this instruction here to pray for ourselves, do it. So with petition and supplication. And then I think it's so important to our prayers and to uplift our spirit so that we take joy in God and we rejoice in Him, is that we do it with thanksgiving. That we recognize that God is the one that we give thanks for. That all the things, the Creator of everything, who's given me life, breath, and everything, that I can rely upon Him. And I should worship Him and thank Him and orient my mind upon Him. And with that comes that wonderful promise of peace. And it's peace that's beyond your mind. You can't wrap your mind around it. You can't fully understand it. But God says, I will give you peace. When you think about your worries and anxieties, you can think about it all the time and you can keep thinking and never actually find the solution. And oftentimes I think about those kind of worries, anxieties that pop up in my life. I look at it as kind of like losing my keys or my wallet. So you ever done that? And then you can look for it and retrace your steps and then seem to never find it. And so my practice usually is I lose my keys, is I stop looking for my keys and they'll just show up. And when it comes to this, when it comes to don't have peace and I'm living in anxiety, I can think about it and I can fret over it and it's not going to fix anything. Jesus even says that. We're going to look at that in a moment, a passage. Christ says, it's not going to fix your problems. Worrying doesn't fix them. Anxiety never adds anything to your life to help you improve. But God says this, if you will pray to me, if you'll come to me in thanksgiving, if you will let those petitions be made known, I will give you peace, and it's going to be beyond any of your thoughts that you have. You can worry all you want. It's not going to give you the peace that I promised to you. That's amazing. Furthermore, we see, again, I like the description here, that the peace of God guards our hearts and our minds. Amen. When I go through struggles and trials, I want the peace of God that guards me. That I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills, but I trust in God. I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I trust in Him. And God gives me that peace. So this passage in Philippians 4 is no small scripture. It's nothing insignificant as far as our thinking and our devotion and dedication to God. It's something that needs to be a part of us as Christians. So I encourage you this morning, pray with thanksgiving. Trust God's promise of peace. He gives us so many promises, and to think that I have the freedom from anxiety and worry, and that God has given it to me, and for me to just say, well, I set it aside and forget it and neglect it and not think about it. No. You know, the anxious often take out their frustrations on others, don't we? You've been frustrated. You've had difficult times. Who is it that hears it from you? Or when you've seen the most frustrated and you have a release of anger, it's usually upon your own loved ones, those that you care about. And many others, when they have anxiety, they'll bottle it up. But then they cope with it with certain addictions in their life. I'll cope with it in this way. Instead of going to God, there's the answer. And so if you think of it, you're examining your life and saying, well, I have an anger problem, or I'm having these other issues, and or maybe I'm addicted to something. You need to go to God in prayer in regards to the anxiety that's most likely behind a lot of that, because that peace of God, again, is promised to you. To be anxious, again, we have good reasons to be anxious. You know, we might think that we do, but again, prayer is an act of faith. When you pray to God, it makes sense that you would have the peace of God, because you're saying to God, I trust you and I rely upon you, and you're the one that will handle all of my problems and my troubles. There should be great peace to come with our prayer and turning to God. And then I think the other question is can we completely overcome worry and anxiety? And we can live a life to where those worries and anxieties and troubles come up, that we reorient ourselves and focus again on God and go to Him in prayer and realize that He blesses us and He takes care of us. And so, like I mentioned before in Philippians 4, the idea is there is not that there's not going to be other troubles in life, that there's not going to be trials. There's not many things that are going to devastate us. Every one of us is going to one day, 10 out of 10 people die. We're going to face death. Hardships are ahead of us. What are we going to do about it? And we want to prepare ourselves now that when those worries and struggles come, that we, again, turn to God. And so as Paul's writing the church of Philippi, whether they knew this or not, he's going to remind them of it. You go to your Creator, the one who gives you peace. If you back up in Philippians, Paul says something interesting, and in your translation might say something like this. In Philippians 2 and verse 28, Paul says, I have anxiety about you. And I thought that was interesting, because just two chapters later, he says, don't be anxious. Well, it's two different Greek words, and what he means there is more of a concern. But I'm still thinking, even though I'm praying, I still have concerns in my life. But I'm not going to live in that worry. I'm not going to allow it to burden me, to hold me down, or to lead me off into various sins. I want you to listen to some of the words of Christ and His teachings on anxiety. Jesus observed, and He says, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? All right, so you find out that you're sick, or you find out you only have a few years or a few months to live. Being anxious about it's not going to help it. Worrying about it's not going to help. Christ says, don't do that. Instead, He says, rely upon your heavenly Father and turn to Him. Seek first the kingdom of God, and God's going to take care of you. I love the passage here where Peter says in 1 Peter 5. Here's a church in the midst of being persecuted, probably in the time of under Nero's persecution. And Peter says, and 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 through 7, he says, humble yourself. Make yourself low, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that in the proper time He may exalt you. You make yourself low below before God, and He'll lift you up. You're facing trials. You humble yourself before Him. And then he says this, casting all your anxieties on Him. Some translations say, cast all your cares on Him. Cast your anxieties on Him. I like that image there. Throwing them off. I'm not throwing off God. I'm not throwing off prayer. I'm not throwing off His Word. I'm not throwing off a life that is faithful to Him. Rather, I'd rather cast off the anxieties upon God, because, as the Scripture says, He cares for you. He loves you. He knows what's going on in your life. And He wants you to come to Him and rely upon Him. In Matthew 6:34, we see here that Christians are not to be burdened by anxieties of life. He says, rather, we are to be those who are seeking first the kingdom of God. And our focus needs to be that our treasure is that which is in heaven. So it's a matter of the way that we think. We have these trials and struggles. What am I doing? Why do I allow them to pull me down? Why do I allow them to stress out my marriage or my family, or to separate me from others that I love, or especially to separate me from God? It means a change in the way that I think. And so Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6 and verse 6, I love this description there. As he's instructing the disciples and those who are listening to him how to pray, he says, and when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And there's another great promise. That's what we get constantly from the biblical writers, and especially from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you come to God and you pray to Him, and God will give you these great blessings. He will reward you. You pray in secret. You don't do it for show. That was the passages before. He talked about how some of the Pharisees would go and pray on the street corners to be heard for their words. He says, no, this is between you and your Creator. This is a real personal faith. Matthew 7, 7 through 8, Jesus says, ask, and you know it, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Again, the great promises of God with a command. If you ask God, He'll give it. And if you seek, you'll find. And if you knock, you'll be open. And some have said, well, listen, I prayed certain prayers. And I love the description of our prayers and how God answers them. Where God, when we pray, He either says, yes, not yet, or I have a better way. I love that description of how God responds to our prayers. That our prayers are being heard by Him. And here, listen to the words of Christ. He says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Those are the promises of God. They're wonderful and beautiful. Well, oftentimes what we see in the news is more reasons of things to worry about, to fret over, to let bother us. The news reveals, again, how most people worry. You think about, what do people worry about? And Jesus says the Gentiles and the people of the nations, they worry about food and clothing. They let these things bother them. And as I turn on the news, I see what people let bother them. It's a long list of things. And as you reflect upon the words of Christ, you see what we should do, our focus, our counter, and how we should pray. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened. I believe in that, and I believe in the promises of Jesus. So I submit to Him. In Matthew 6 and verse 25, Jesus says this. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? I would think if you're going to worry about something and you're lacking food and clothing, that would be it. That would be what I'm going to have anxiety over. Maybe you've never been in that position before, but I remember as a child when food was limited. I remember looking in the cabinets and having just one can of corn left. And then the can opener didn't work. That was funny. There's a blessing to that story because I got to eat pizza that night, so I didn't go hungry. But I had a blessing there as a kid. And I think about it. And it reminds me, you know, these things I could worry about. But why worry about them? And I seek first the kingdom of God, and God will help me. We can worry about tomorrow. What are we going to do about tomorrow? Can't you see what's coming on the horizon? What's ahead of us? Jesus says, Matthew 6, 25, therefore not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. Stay in today. And then his answer to this is what you do instead, Matthew 6, 33 to 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We've probably heard that passage a number of things. And he says, as far as clothing and your needs and your food, he says, all these things. That's what that passage means right there in Matthew 6, 33. All these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. God will take care of us. There may be times in our life where we go without food, when things are limited. Even the Apostle Paul, through his struggles, went through hardships like that, where he says, I didn't have enough clothing, and I didn't have the food that I needed, but God took care of me. In fact, it's in Philippians 4, where Paul says, whether in need or in abundance, He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what that verse means in the context. Paul is saying, I can endure whatever suffering or whatever abundance for God. That's what Philippians 4:13 is about. The book of Philippians is filled with these constant teachings, and they're encouraging, and I hope that they're encouraging to you today, that I can take joy in God and great thanksgiving and put all my struggles on Him and cast my cares upon Christ because He is there for me. I think about the rest of the book of Philippians, the wonderful things that's in it, and you start thinking about how can I rejoice like this and how can I have this thanksgiving? What things can I work on? Because, you know, I don't have this all perfectly together yet, but I can continue to meditate on God's word and make some changes and some things that He says here. So in Philippians 2, Paul says, don't grumble and don't dispute. Had a sermon a few months ago about how disputing doesn't fix anything. He says, don't dispute and don't grumble. You don't need that in your house. You don't need the complaining. We don't need it in the church either. You don't need it at work. He says, put it aside. It's going to ruin your influence. He says this, instead, you need to shine as lights in the world and uphold the word of God. That's what you should be doing. And then Paul goes on in chapter 3, he says, I count all things as loss to know Christ. That's why he's able to rejoice in the Lord and put his trust in Him and cast out these cares upon God and to rely upon his Creator. He says, have a righteousness from God that depends on faith and not on the law. All these things accumulate. And what's interesting here is, where's Paul when he's writing this to the church at Philippi? He's in prison. If anybody could be down, if anybody could say, well, I just don't see the use in prayer, you could put it on him. But that's not the example you have from Paul. He encourages the church. And so he encourages a righteousness that depends upon Christ, that puts hope in the resurrection of Jesus. And I think that's so important that we think Jesus rose from the dead and we contemplate the day in which, as Paul says, Christ will come in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21, where he will transform our bodies into a glorious body like that of Christ when Jesus rose from the dead. He says, that's where our faith is. He says, therefore, he says, you need to have this mentality that you press forward to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus and forget what lies behind. You keep moving. All of these things are put together there as Paul comes to Philippians 4 and he says, rejoice always and do not be anxious. And encourage this morning, whatever your troubles are and the things that bother you, turn them over to God. And always trust in Him. Pray to Him. Make your requests be made known to Him. There's nothing too big or too small that you cannot go to your Father and pray. Let's do that. Philippians 4. Verses 6 through 7, I think, is a fitting conclusion to end where we began. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Encourage you this morning, if you haven't put on Christ in baptism, don't wait. If you haven't come to Christ in faith, confessing your faith, do that. Repent of your sins. Make things right. If you need prayers and encouragement, listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and I will give rest to your souls. Those great blessings and promises from Christ you can have this morning. You come to Him in faith. Obey Jesus. Jesus says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Mark 16:16. Whatever your needs are, let's seek one another out now and let's stand and sing together.